false teachers like Balaam, then and now, they have sinned against God so long that their sin had become a type or a form of insanity.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Well, good day and welcome. We want to get right into Pastor Bill's study today and join him as he concludes the message, False Teachers, Part 2.
Oh my gosh, it's only today. Tomorrow's going to be too late. Honey, get out your call right now. You know, the Bible says it. Now faith is, not tomorrow. Now listen to me. That's a bunch of bull, okay? All right. Look what they do now. This may be the most important thing I tell you this morning because I have a lot of experience in about what I'm about to tell you. I'm not saying I'm proud of it. I'm just saying I have a lot of experience in what I'm about to tell you. Not participating in it, but seeing it, okay? It says here, they are driven by a tempest, a storm. Have you ever been in bed late at night and the storm comes in and you hear the thunder, the lightning, the roll, and your house sometimes can shake from the boom, right? Okay, so what is it saying? Well, false teachers, they make a lot of noise. They are specialists at keeping sheep entertained. And here's how they do it. Experiences without content. Are you listening to me? There's nothing wrong with true experiences from God, but they offer you, you can have an experience, believe me, but it has no content. I was in a church service many, many, many years ago, and I was in down the very front row. I was with the pastors. There's probably 4,000 people there. I knew them very well. It was another denomination, and this person who was there, he called people to come down. Well, I didn't go down. He was going to pray for everybody. And so I'm sitting there with the senior pastor of that church. He was a friend of mine. And he looks at me, not the senior pastor, but the speaker, and he's on the floor with all these people, and he looks at me and says, come up here. And I looked at the senior pastor. I don't want to go up there. He says, you need to come up here. So I get out of my chair. I come up. That's my wife. Honest God. I walk up, and when I did, he hits me. He hits me in my stomach as hard as he could and knocks me back about 4 feet. I look up and the senior pastor is looking down. He says, Bill, are you okay? And I said, what happened? He said, did you not know? I said, what happened? I said, no. He said, he hit you. He did? And he said, yeah, are you hurting? I said, what? Now, I don't know how that happened, but it was not God. Are you listening to me? That was what you call an experience without content. This is probably the most important thing I'm telling you. Level one, listen to me. You've got to be so careful. Listen, I've preached in so many different denominations, and I love the church. I love pastors. I love the sheep. But I've seen things that just make me tremble. I mean, so you remember the old expression, they were all slain in the spirit. Remember, and they were all laying out on the floor, and they would put whatever they put over you, a sheet or something. I don't know. You know, I always tell people, I say, okay, well, oh, listen, I passed out or whatever. They laid hands on me and I was out. I said, okay, what happened? I don't know. Well, then nothing happened. Nothing happened. Now listen, let me back up. That doesn't mean God can't do that because he has. I've seen it. But there's a change. Do you understand? There is a change. You get up when God, and we don't call it slain in spirit. It's when spirit overcomes you. I've seen people delivered from drugs that way. Are you following me? But when they get up, they're different. But to get up, I've had an experience. That's an experience without content. It does not come from God. Do you understand me? Listen, when that happens, loved one, when you have a true experience with the Holy Spirit, you see results. You don't see, I don't know what it was. You've got to be very careful about experiential Christianity. Amen? It's very, very important. I was preaching in New England. I'm talking about experiences. This is, I think, the most important thing to tell you today. I was preaching for a couple of weeks up in New England. I get a phone call from a person whose ministry went all over the world. I mean, all over the world. It caught like fire. And he called me because I met him in Africa when I was teaching there. And we became friends. He calls me while I'm teaching there in New Hampshire. And he says, Bill, you know, he'd just come to America. He says, Bill, listen to me. He said, something, God is doing something. I mean, you cannot believe what God is doing. You've got to come to New York. I'm down by the Hudson River, and I'm at this church, and there are 1,000 people here. I want you to come and be a part of this. I want you to be work with me. And I said, okay, let me get down there, man. I'll see what's going on. Well, when I got there, people were, during the service, they were all over the floor. Some of them were crawling. Some of them were growling. And then some of them started laughing. And that movement went all over the world. I looked at him at the end of the service and said, Bill, what do you think? And I said, brother, you don't build the church on this kind of stuff. He never spoke to me again except one time. And he called Pastor Thomas. He called Pastor Thomas not too many years ago. There were thousands of people. I mean, thousands every night coming to see him. And he said, you tell your father I want to talk to him. And I said, okay. Thomas drives me to where that meeting is being held, and there's a gigantic, one of those $500,000 buses, you know, and because he'd offered me to go to work for him. And I said, no, I can't do that. And I knock on the door, and there's all these pastors in this big bus. He's got TV sets all over the bus, and it's his programs all over the world in different languages. And so he comes up to me. I thought he was going to punch me. He says, how big is your church? I said, it's very good to see you too, brother. How's everything going? He says, you look what God has done. I said, yes, sir. I said, I don't know that God has done it. And those pastors looked at me like, you got to be kidding what you just said. And I said, why did you call me here? He said, because I want to show you what God has done and not done for you. And I looked at him and I laid my hand on his shoulder. And I said to all the pastors, I said, let's bow our heads because we're going to pray. And I prayed for him, and those pastors didn't bow their head. Their eyes were this big. I'm telling you, like, are you out of your mind? I prayed. Thomas put me in the car. I came back to Calvary Chapel. Amen. We're safe. Listen to me now. I'm not against experiencing the Holy Spirit with results. But when there's no content, you better be as wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove, loved one. Because it's leading you where you should not and do not want to go. Now, thank you, Lord. Now, what's going to happen to all those? Well, look at it. It says, whom is reserved the blackness of darkness for how long? So the fallen angels, verse 4, they're in chains of darkness. The false teachers, they have a reservation waiting for them. God has it all already done. Okay, it's on file. And it says, the blackness of darkness. That's the lowest place in hell, whatever that is. And it's dark there. It's a total absence of light. And where there is no light, there is not God. Amen? Aren't you glad that, like the Bible tells us, it says in Colossians 1:12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. Past tense, God has qualified you. Isn't that unbelievable? God has qualified us to be what? Be partakers of the inheritance in the saints of light, because Jesus has delivered or rescued us or transported us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son, in whom we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins. Praise God. We are the light of the world. Amen. Matter of fact, 1 Thessalonians 5:5, it tells us that we are the sons of light and the sons of the day. 1 Peter 2:9, what does it tell us there? What is that script? Who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light? 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have, amen. Oh, so good. How about Philippians 1:15? It says, we hold forth the word of life, the light to others. Well, that's who we are. Now listen, you're going to say, Bill, there's a problem here. I don't get it. In other words, if these false teachers then today, if they have nothing to really offer, how in the world are they able to attract followers? Well, first of all, it says unstable souls. Amen. Okay, no foundation. But they do something. They feed on the fallen nature, the old man. They feed on they feed the old person, that carnal appetite. They don't feed the new man, loved one, at all. Look at it, verse 18. For when they speak great swelling words of what? Emptiness. What a word. Their words, they say these words, they sound great, but they're empty words. They're worthless words without content. Nothing happens without any results. They're worthless promises that say absolutely nothing. They say words like life, but the fact is, it's not life. They say words like love, but it's not love. They say words about peace, but it's not peace at all. They're empty words. And so how do they do it? Here it comes. They allure. Say that with me. They allure. That word means they seduce, they entice. How? Through the lust of the flesh, our carnal appetites. In other words, you're the king's kid. The king's kid never gets sick. What's wrong with you? The king's kid, God said, we're going to all be wealthy and all be rich. We're all going to drive Cadillacs or something. Amen? Is that true? No. You see, but does that appeal to the carnal man? It does. And is that old man still want to come back to life? All right. So they appeal, and it says also through what else? Lewdness, that's sexual excess or the insatiable desire for pleasure, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And it says, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped, meaning who, they're new converts probably, meaning they are barely escaping, if you will, from error. They're not safe. And it says, from those who live in error. Who lives in error? The false teachers, all right? While they, meaning the false teachers, look what they promise them. They promise them liberty, freedom, but not freedom in Christ, okay? They promise them liberty, and they themselves, though, they are slaves of corruption. Slaves, doulos in the Greek. That means their will is now swallowed up in the will of another, and that will is sin and sin only, okay? So they're slaves, and by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. So the false teachers, the freedom that the false teachers offer, okay, is freedom to sin, not a freedom from sin, okay? Right there we saw it. They allure lust of the flesh through lewdness and so forth. And so their freedom leads only one place, bondage. Now listen, freedom is only found in one person. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen? It says in Galatians 5:1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty or freedom by which Christ has made us free. In the Gospel of John, in John chapter 8, one of my favorite chapters, Jesus is talking to the Jews who believed, okay, John 8:30. He's talking to the Jews who have believed. Now, that's the only way to have freedom is to believe, amen? Believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord. And he said, now, you know, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth shall make you free. That's my life verse. And they answered him, the Jews answered, oh, what do you mean? We're Abraham's descendants. We've never been in slavery or bondage to anyone. And we should say, really? You know, just Egypt, just Babylon, just Assyria and Rome. Amen. Have you ever noticed that what unbelievers always tell you? Come to Jesus, he'll set you free. He says, what do you mean? I'm already free. I'm not a slave to anything. Don't you talk to me like that. Amen. So they said, how can you even say to us, you'll make us free? And Jesus answered and said, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin, practices it over and over, habitual lifestyle, is a slave to sin. And a slave doesn't abide in the house forever, but a son, he abides. And Jesus said, whom the Son makes free shall be free indeed. Amen. We are free in Christ Jesus, loved one. Now, look at verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions, the poison of this world, okay, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than in the beginning. Now, so this verse, I want you to really get this verse so you won't be afraid, okay? And you'll understand what it means. Look at it again. For if after they escape the pollutions of the world, how do they escape? Through what? Okay, now listen very carefully. Remember the word knowledge, know, and so forth. Gnosis, epigenosis is mentioned, 17, 18 times in Peter, in 2 Peter, and that's why that's important, that we grow in the knowledge of our Lord. The word here for knowledge is epigenosis, okay? Not just gnosis, not just a knowledge, but in other words, the false teachers had experienced a personal, intimate knowledge of Jesus Christ, okay? Intimate. So what does that mean? Well, listen carefully. It means that they knew Jesus was Lord, but in chapter 2, verse 1, they denied his deity, okay? Amen? Okay, they knew that they were bought or purchased in chapter 2, verse 1. They knew it, but they denied the substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus Christ as Lord. They denied that. We've already learned that. They knew the right way to go, okay? They knew the right way to go, but they followed the way of Balaam, okay? And that was in 2:15. We just studied all that. Now listen very carefully. The false teachers were never, ever born from above. It's very important to see that. All the false teachers had were facts. That's it. Were facts. Knowledge alone, no matter how intimate it might be, okay, about our Lord, loved one, that doesn't save a person. Head knowledge has to become heart knowledge, amen? And if it doesn't, you're not saved. Now, so the false teachers, they knew about Jesus. They knew about his word, but they didn't know Jesus. Remember what I told you last Sunday? That a person can experience the power of God. A person can experience the presence of God, but never have the person of Jesus Christ in their life. See, beware of experience without results or content. But I hope you wrote that down and never forget that. Beware of experiences, okay, without content. There's nothing, there's an experience. It's going to lead you astray. Loved one, listen, what did Jesus tell us in Matthew 7:21? He says, not everyone who saith to me, who calls me Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Amen? And he said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? Have we not done many wonders in your name? And Jesus will say unto them, I never knew you. I never had a relationship with you. You are not my sheep. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, meaning they would never do the will of God. They were false teachers. But now listen carefully. Some of you are going to read this again, and you're going to say to me, now, Bill, listen, it says, after they have escaped. They escaped, it says, the pollutions of this world through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. They escaped. Okay, here's the problem. If you read it in the Greek, you get your answer, okay? In the Greek, Peter did not use the perfect tense for escape, which would have indicated that that would have been their permanent condition. They didn't escape. Now, so that word there, aorist in the Greek, okay, it speaks of an event that happened way in the past. And they had an experience, but it was an experience without content. It was an experience without any future results. They were not changed. They were not born again. Amen? Are y'all with me? Very important now. And that's why they say here in verse 21, well, it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. In other words, the good news of the gospel, Jesus Christ. Then having known it, then to, here it comes, turn. That word means to reject deliberately. They deliberately turn their backs from the holy commandment. Now watch this, delivered to them. That means verbally given to them. They heard it. Somebody talked to them about the gospel. Now, when they stand before God, are they going to be in trouble? Can they say, I never heard the good news? No, but it has happened, verse 22, to them according to the true proverb. He's going to quote now a partial part of Proverbs 26:11. A dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed, to her wallowing in the mire. Now, are pigs unclean to the Jew? Okay, do they eat pork, bacon, pork chops, pulled pork? No, they don't. Okay, now, but you think, well, Bill, how about the dog? To a Jew, the dog was not man's best friend. I like dogs, but that here, to a Jew, the dogs were nothing but wild scavengers. They ate vile trash, do you understand? And they were always roaming in packs. They would go and eat out of the garbage and so forth. And so the dog, it says here, what happens to him? He goes and eats that filth and then he vomits it up. So is he clean now on the inside? Is that junk out of him? Yeah, but he returns to his own vomit. Why? Well, let's look at the pig. The pig, there he is. He's clean now on the outside. He took a nice little bath. Yet what does he do? He returns to wallow in the mud. Why? Well, that's what pigs do. That's what dogs do. Do you understand? That's because that's their nature. Now, listen to me. False teachers do according to their nature. They are not sheep. They are tares. You know what I'm saying? Planted by the wicked one, loved one. They're dogs and pigs, and they were never saved. And the only way not to be a dog, and the only way not to be a pig, and the only way not to be a tare is to become a sheep. Amen? And that's what we need to do. There's a tremendous deception today. Those in the church, some. And they believe that they're saved, but yet they live their life as if they weren't saved at all. Now listen to me. The old pig, there he goes. Boy, he looked better. He took a bath. That old dog, he felt better because he got what was wrong. He got it out, the junk that was inside of him. But they returned. You know why? Well, because they just got cleaned up on the outside and not on the inside. Jesus said in John 3:3, you must be born again. You must be born again, or you will not see or enter the kingdom of heaven. The Bible says, tells us that therefore anyone in Christ Jesus, new creation, old things pass away, all things become new. What a word. I want to close with someone who's in heaven right now. His name was J. Vernon McGee. Maybe you used to listen to him through the Bible. Here's what he said about the closing remarks here. And he says, friends, if you come in here today unsaved and you walk out of here unsaved, well, I'm your worst enemy that you've ever had because you've heard the gospel and you can never go into the presence of God and tell him that you never heard the gospel. You've heard it, and it'll be worse for you. When God pronounces judgment for any heathen in the darkest part of the earth today, if you don't know Christ Jesus, if you don't know the Lord, today is your day. Amen? No, right this minute. As our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, those listening on the radio, those listening across all the media, however it's working, listen to me now. If you don't know Jesus, you may say you do, but you don't because your actions are different. You don't live for him. You can ask Christ right now to become the Lord of your life, and he will change you. You will have an event with results. You will have something happen to you in your heart if you truly believe in your heart. God bless you. I see that hand. You may say to yourself, I'm going to clean myself up. And I'm going to get right, but I can't do it right now. You're deceived. That's the devil. This is my last call. If that's you, this is your moment. This is your time. This is your opportunity. You lift that hand up and you put it right back down. And God bless you back there. That's right. I want Jesus to be my Lord. I want my sins forgiven. I want heaven in my home. Father, I thank you for those that have raised their hands, and you that are listening live, if you raised your hands, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Church, everybody, those who lifted your hands, pray this prayer. Church, help me right now. Say, Father, today, I don't want to be a dog. I don't want to be a pig. I don't want to be a tare. I want to be a Christian. I want Jesus to be my Lord. So right this minute, I confess with my mouth, Jesus be my Lord. And I believe in my heart, God, you raised him from the dead. And Father, you promised if I would ask Jesus to be my Lord, and if I would believe it in my heart, you would save me. I believe. Save me now. In Jesus' name, I am saved. And the church says, amen. Amen.
Pastor's study continues on Love Never Fails tomorrow, and we look forward to seeing you once again. We want to thank you, as always, for listening to Love Never Fails. Be blessed today, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.